Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining the Walt Weekly Podcast Friday Live. I am your host, Walter Latham, and I'm joined by your co-host, Michelle Sweeney McCombs. Unfortunately, we did lose a few members of our panel. So
yeah, that's temporary.
They got commitments. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And hopefully we will reconvene one day, all of us, and yes. We'll move on from there. But in the interim, we'll still be here every Friday at 6 p.m.
We are grateful for who we have today, Judy, and anyone else that comes in will be great.
Absolutely, because this is a very important topic that, I've always wondered about. And today's topic is Black fathers are not getting any credit. All right. And what I mean is that a lot of times you have athletes, people in entertainment, they get awards and the first thing they say, hey, I want to thank my mother and I want to thank my agent. But you don't hear, I want to thank my father. I'm talking of Black successful people when they're giving out, these attributions. All right. So I don't hear the Black father very seldom. But on the white side, you hear a lot about the Black father. So right there, as we get into the question and answer session of the show, that tells you something. Is this true? Am I led to believe that black fathers are not raising their kids, are not involved in their kids?
That's what they want you to believe.
But that's a false narrative. They push it a false story. And if you push that story on and on and on, people start believing it. Policies start getting written. And I'm jumping ahead. And I don't want to do that. I always jump ahead because I get emotional about certain things.
Yeah.
All right.
Topic, dude,
Mm-hmm. All right. But, this show is about, the Black ballers hardly being mentioned, when thanks are being given out. And that's it. It's either sports, entertainment, regardless of what it is that, these people have succeeded in. Our kids have succeeded in, rather. I'm not going to say these people. Right. And we like to understand why. All right. We like Rodney Dangerfield. The Black father is like Rodney Dangerfield. You ever heard of Rodney Dangerfield, Michelle?
Yes, that's right.
You ever heard of Rodney Dangerfield?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I get no respect. I get no respect at all. Right.
that's what Black made him famous. Get no respect.
Black
father,
Black fathers get no respect.
Right.
All right. So let me turn it over to Michelle. And Michelle, do your thing like we normally would do.
Yeah, I'm excited about this topic. But thank you, Walter, and good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Walt Weekly Friday Live. Thank you to our live audience for joining us. Please follow the Walt Weekly and share this podcast by clicking on the share link below. The Walt Weekly is brought to you by Michelle Sweeney Hair and Skincare. Our intro and outro music is provided by Uncle Neff. You can find his music on all streaming platforms. Joining us today, our weekly panel member, poet and author out of Brooklyn, New York, Judy Andrews. I will post all of her information in the chat room. And I just want to announce that we are live broadcasting from New York City. And we would love to see where everyone is from in our chat room. Just put down where you're from, what city you're located in, or what country, and we will acknowledge you in the chat room. Thank you. And back to you, Walter.
Well, thank you, Michelle. And thanks, Judy.
You're welcome.
Hopefully we have another panel member joining. If not, and we just, push on.
Yeah.
As the British would say.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, my first question, and this could be filled by anybody. When you hear people thank their moms instead of their fathers or both parents, now what goes through your mind?
Well, I think that when they thank the mothers, mothers are always, greeted with such respect for keeping the family together. But fathers also keep the family together. My father, he was a hardworking man. He did not marry my mother, but I knew that he was there and he was always there for me and he always looked out for me. His father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, they were all married. And he, was the only one who didn't. He was married, but he was the only one who didn't stay married. But he still took care of. He took care of me. I was his only child. His parents were married. They their parents were married, and they also were very courageous men. They fought in American wars, and they were able to give contributions to society. They worked very hard for their families, and they were kind-hearted and sweet. And, you know, I think that African-American men don't get that in the media. They're not seen as men who are soft and kind. And it's sort of like a street culture in a way when you don't see African-American men as soft and kind. You know, to be soft and kind means that someone can take advantage of you. And of course, no man, black or white, wants that. But, you know, African-American men are shown more on television in terms of being criminals or locked up or the parents are in jail. But in my experience, that is not the case. All of the men who are in my life now are great fathers, and they are loving and kind. Their wives adore them. They're able to provide for their family in a legal and respectful manner. And I don't know of any of the men that I know who are not doing their job as loving parents and as loving fathers. So that's there is great. A stereotype in America that it black men is. Do not take care of their children.
Yeah. Absolutely. You're fortunate. You have a positive story to tell in reference to your black men and your family. Same here. Yes. You know, I had my father was in our lives. He was a positive man. Growing up as a child, born in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, etc., I had a great childhood. Every male in my family, every male role model in my family, uncles, cousins, etc., you know, they were all exceptional men. You know, they took care of their children. But as we said, the topic, black fathers not getting credit. You're right. It's, you know, oh, thank you, Don. It is a lopsided view, but it's also real for many. Yeah, it is. It's a real thing, you know. A lot of black fathers don't get credit. They don't get credit because the media doesn't want you to see that. Mm-hmm. The public doesn't want you to see that. They always want to have us in a negative way. They have the perception of the black woman being on welfare and the man not taking care of them, because welfare started because, you know, out of slavery, right? We couldn't find jobs or whatever the case was. And the man wasn't allowed to be in the home at that time because, you know, back in the 60s, the 50s and the 60s, they would come to your home to make sure there was no man there to take care of their children or to, you know, contribute financially. So they got a bad rap. So that has a lot to do with it, too. But I could say for myself, with my son, you know, even though his biological father was not actively involved in his life, he has a stepdad that he constantly acknowledges. That's his father. But, you know, as far as his father's concerned, no, he doesn't get credit, because I'm like, you know, I'll be damned, because he's in the entertainment industry. I'll be damned if you go up there and, you know, God willing, you get a Grammy Award and you acknowledge this man. I have a problem with that. You know, I know he won't. He will acknowledge the man that did raise him. You know, you know, it takes a real man to raise a child. Anybody can be a daddy. So you have different concepts, different people dealing with different things. I wish we had someone on here that can actually give a story of a man that was in their life, their father, that didn't do anything. And we could see that. But the perception of the black man in the U.S. or just in general is horrible. It's just horrific, because you have a lot of black men that are there for their children. And of course, like you said, I'm going to piggyback off what you said, Judy. Mm-hmm. The mother, you know, they come from us. You know, they have a tendency to acknowledge a mom because the father is out there working all the time. So the mother is taking them to practice, taking them here, taking them to school, feeding them, clothing them, bathing them, et cetera, et cetera. So the woman is more active in the child's life because the father is the breadwinner in some cases.
Right. Well, I would have to say in most cases.
Right. Because, and we have a distinct history.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right. We have a distinct history in this country because of the African slave trade. Many right. families were separated, and right. that created a major gap in the history and the way that families were perceived in America, right. especially African-American families, where the father was always given many women to quote unquote breed. Boy, I could see Andino talking about this subject.
Oh boy.
But, yeah, you were going to get into this. Yeah.
To right. breed, and that breeding quote unquote effect really affected the rest of the lives and generations of families for many, many years. And what is so amazing about African-American culture, particularly what you know, the AP is calling Black American culture, is that we've still managed to hold on to many aspects of our family and our culture. Exactly. And that has kept us, you know, going, and we still rise. Still, we rise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, there Donna just made a comment. Women were left to do it all. Yes, because our men couldn't. You know,
yes,
they weren't mm-hmm. allowed to, or they wouldn't give them the jobs mm-hmm. to help them feed their families or take care of their families.
A lot of it being a Black father, having raised mm-hmm. Two kids,
yes,
and which are contributing members of society. I don't know whether they get up there and say, well, their mom and they're not meant, they would definitely mention both parents. I have 100% faith in that because
right.
it took two,
right.
my wife and I.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. But I do want to go back and try to backfill some of this with some stats that I picked up in my mm-hmm. research. All right. The share of Black children born to single mothers has more than tripled from about 24% in 1960. To more than 70% in 2018.
Wow.
All right, this indicates that Black fathers are less likely to live with their children than fathers of other races. But it's important to note that the share of children in single mother families among all races since the 1960s, mm-hmm. all right, there was more Black participation as compared to Hispanic and white participation.
Right.
And we now know that non-residential fathers, Black fathers, as I said, are more involved than Hispanic dads and share more responsibilities and generally co-parent better than white or Hispanic non-residential fathers.
Wow.
I didn't know that, but I had a feeling, but I wanted to go back and get some stats on it.
Right. And also, according to author, Pulitzer Prize-winning author Isabel Wilkerson, from her book, The Warmth of Other Suns, we know she did this wonderful book on the Great Migration. And it's only until recently, according to her, in the modern age, that we see this stereotype of African-American fathers not being able to support their families. This was something, if you go back through the generations, that just was never heard of. You know, if a woman got pregnant, even before she was married, if she got pregnant, the guy was forced to marry her.
Right.
And
right.
it was almost like a taboo if you didn't marry her. So this is, in terms of our history, this is very recent where we are getting this stereotype where it's okay to have, 12 and 14 and 15 children and be the stereotype. That's just recent. You know, we can look at many of the celebrities, you could go from Nick Cannon, last year had two children within a matter of 1 week from two different women.
Wow.
So that is something that is shocking. And, he's trying to make up for it now, and he has the money to be able to do so. Then we have men like Eddie Murphy, who's, got a number of
children. He has 10 children, but he can afford
Yes, and he can afford it. And, of course, right. Philip Michael Thomas, the actor from Miami Vice.
Yes, he has a lot. And
Bob Marley.
Priest.
Yes, yeah, Maxie Priest, it goes on and on. Those are the stereotypes because they're in the media and we see it all the time because of right. the media, and they are famous. But mm-hmm. the majority of African-American men and Black men in this country, really do take care of their children.
They do. The media just doesn't want you to see that. They always want to show us in a negative.
And that's why we got shows like The Walt Weekly, which, mm-hmm. Try to shed light on this.
Right.
On this false narrative. It's a false narrative. I'm not saying some of it's not true, but that applies to all races.
Right. All right? That's right.
Right.
It applies to all races. One single allowed.
Right.
It's
even in the Jewish community. You know, their wives are on, they have like 10 kids, 8 to 10 children. Their wives are on welfare.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
So are the Mormons.
And they're married. Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to hear them say it on national TV.
No.
My dad's, you know, just exclude their fathers. Like, they're going to acknowledge them. But unfortunately, you know, the ones that you do hear of an athlete or an entertainer or whoever is on TV announcing that particular situation, it's like probably 1 in 10,000. Like, you can't say that's the Black community.
Right.
You know,
no, they're like they're 1 in 10 million.
Yeah. Right.
That may make it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, yeah. I can give a perfect example. I hope I don't get in trouble for this, but my husband, his ex, you know, his son was, going for the NFL. He got picked up on a team. He did an article. And I never seen this man cry before. He's reading this, you know, someone else told him about an article. He's reading this article. He's never acknowledged his father. This man was 100% in his life.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that side of it where the mother's feeding into the child. So you have the truth side where the father wasn't there. Then you have the side where the mother's just dogging out the man that is there, but because he's not with her, you're a terrible father, right? So you get excluded out of everything. Yeah, so it's the mother sometimes as well that's excluding that father, even though that, you know, it's just not him. It could be any man that's paying child support, breaking their neck, taking his kid to sports, doing this, doing that. But because he's not with this girl, he chose another woman. That's where you become an absent father. No, you're not a single parent. You're a single woman because you have an active father. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not a single parent. You're a single woman because you do have help. There's a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
A lot of that going on where fathers do help in their children's lives. They're not getting credit for it because the woman is bitter because you're not with her.
Right.
So you have a lot of that too.
And that's for any culture, any ethnicity.
Right.
You know, it goes for just about everyone, but because of the racism that still exists in the country, all we see are African-American men who are, you know, in some kind of trouble, and they really don't focus on any other cultural or ethnic group. And that that's a real issue.
Yeah, the statistics only are good when it comes to the African-American culture. They don't have all nationalities in that. That's the problem. Like, you know, the welfare system, because I knew people that work in the welfare, and they're like, you know, it's not majority Black on there. It's a lot of white people on there too. You know, so they're not giving...
Well, most of them are white. Most of them are white.
Numbers.
Yeah.
You know, they're just going by, you know, they'll go by a certain neighborhood. They're not going to say Brooklyn, Williamsburg, which is predominantly Jewish. They're not going to go over there and do a calculation of how many people over there are on welfare. They're going to go to Bed-Stuy and do it, or Brownsville. You know, they're not really getting the true numbers.
Yeah, I think there's a great show. It's a series that I watched on Netflix called Maid, M-A-I-D.
Yes.
And it follows the life of a very poor white woman who is also a victim of domestic violence, and how she tries very hard not to have the father in the child's life because he is so violent, you know. And what I liked about the series is that, you know, the African American in the story was a very bougie Black woman played by Noni Anika Rose. So we have this concept that only African Americans and Hispanic and Latina Americans are maids and housekeepers, when that is very far from the truth. And I like that this series was able to shed light on that, because it showed that there are many people who are suffering, whose families cannot be together for a number of reasons, from poverty all the way down to just violence. So you can't just single out African-American fathers and show them only being arrested on, you know, on TV. Look at what happened to the poor lady and the tragic life of these people who went out on a trip, a road trip. Miss Petito and Brian, can't remember his last name, but he was found, you know, his body, his remains of his body, the FBI found the remains of his body yesterday. He had apparently, he had allegedly murdered his girlfriend. They were planning to be married, but they talked about, they always talked about them in a kind of loving way. Had this been an African-American couple, it would have been completely told.
Oh yeah, it wouldn't even gone this far. He would have been in jail that moment. They'd be like, "Oh, she looks frightened. She looks like she's afraid of him, just by her face, you know." Yes. And the black man would have been taken immediately, but because she's Caucasian, you know, it dragged out. Because you know, why didn't you? I didn't get that.
Brian Laundrie is his name. Brian Laundrie.
Right. Right.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't get that. I know you're talking about Petito, right?
Yes,
now that my notes.
Petito.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, they got scholarships. They got all these things going on.
Yeah, they've set up a fund. Funded her name. Yes.
The worst thing that can happen to a parent, mother, father, is the death of a child. I never want. I can't put myself in that situation. I don't think I can handle it. Okay, but with the way they are, you know. The way they're speaking about this is if she had some major contribution to society, did she invent something?
Right. Yes. I mean, it's sad that that happened to her.
Yeah, but did
she
invent something?
The energy that they put into it, you know, they messed up. They messed that up.
Like, did they make it? Did she make it better for other people? Is there something that I'm missing?
Well, you know, this is an issue, you know, African, when you look at the entire family unit. African-American women who have been murdered or who are missing or who vanish are not searched for in the same way that this woman was searched for. I mean, they searched for her for 2 weeks and then they searched for him for 2 weeks, you know, and that just never happens. It was an unusual story, but for the African-American presence, it does not happen for us. And that is the tragedy, because there are thousands.
Our lives are valued as well. We all bleed the same. We all bleed the same.
Right. Yes, now, I don't mean to jump off topic, guys.
Right.
And I was reading this article. No, y'all guys, you're fine. I'm talking about myself. What I'm getting ready to say now. I just want to preface it with. I don't want to jump off the topic, but I do have to mention it. The NFL. Okay, and their examination of disabled players that have retired with neurological damage as a result of getting hit and this and that. They have a protocol that they go through where they examine them. But built into the exam and the decision-making process or the evaluation is that black people have a lower cognitive ability.
Oh, I heard that.
You heard that, right?
Yes.
So therefore, if they got 10, they will add 3 or vice versa, or subtract 3. So if 10 makes you pass, they will take 3 minus 3, you got 7. Oh, you're good to go. You're not disabled. You know, cognitive ability. All right. That was the key word. And that's what they used to deny these ex-players, you know, with brain damage, their disability benefits. And that's a damn shame.
That is a shame.
Yeah.
So, I mean, discrimination is built throughout every fabric of our society.
Yes, it is. Yes.
And every fabric of our society.
Yeah.
It affects the family unit in so many different ways. And then, of course, African-American men don't get the credit that they deserve for being able to take care of their families, because there is such a wide, rampant use of the media's attention on just the celebrities, you know, who are not doing the right thing.
It's just like walking on a pile of rocks. Okay. You're walking through a pile of rocks scattered all in front of you. Okay. Everyone you pick up and turn over, there's an issue when it comes to African-Americans. There's an issue.
That's right.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
That's what I'm saying. So it's unfortunate that, you know, I could watch, you know, these people get their awards, or football players, or, you know, whatever. And the first person they think is their mothers. I can understand that. There's no fault in that. I put no blame on them. Okay? Right. Because that's the way it is.
But I understand. Mothers are more, passionate about their children. You know, I know I am. You know, your mother is your biggest groupie.
Nurture. She's a nurturer.
She's your biggest fan when it comes to, because men aren't that excited. You know, they're like, oh, my son's, you know, he's in the NFL. You know, women, oh, my son, you know, I'm like all over Facebook with this child, you know, and you are like, it's women are more emotional about their children, you know, so. And I think, you know, that kind of sticks with children, you know, when they mm-hmm. when they become what they want to be when they get older, and they know their mother was always there, even though the father's there too, right. They still know the mother is more passionate, you know. But on the negative side of it, you know, it's not a good thing, because you're not giving that dad credit. It makes it seem like, you know, this mother raised this child to be this fabulous football player or entertainer, whoever he is, he grows up into. And he did not give that father that was there the credit. So,
right,
like we said, the media actually makes it worse.
Well, they perpetuate it because it. I mean, that's just part of the systemic racism. Mm-hmm. Media is part.
But you know, we have to take ownership on that too. Yeah. You know, we're the ones saying it. You know, we're saying it.
No, I don't understand. What do you mean?
When that NFL player is up there. He's saying, he's acknowledging his mom. You know, you don't know what his true story is. Like, mm-hmm. if his father was in the picture, why didn't he mention him? Like, you know, we have to take some feedback from that, because...
Yeah, yes, yes, absolutely, like, absolutely.
Yeah, like I gave you an example earlier. My husband's son, like, he chose not to mention his father. So that's a choice he made, even though his dad was there for him.
I agree. With
anger and, you know... the negatives in his ear being raised, you know, I hate to curse, but you know, your dad ain't shit, but that's because he's not with you. You know, I'm a single mother. No, you're not a single mother. Like I said before, you're a single woman. Mm-hmm. You're not a single parent. You know, if there's a father there, you're single because you're single. You don't have a mate, but you are not a single parent. When you have two parents raising that child, you're not a single parent.
Yeah,
and that's what careful. That child needs to be careful what they say, and that's what makes that's them true. Look bad. If it's true, by all means, you know, it's your option to say it. But if it's not true, don't throw that man under the bus when he's the one that paid for you to get to the place that you're at right now. Okay, if I was such a bad dad, give me back that $1 million I invested into you over these years. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't knock it when it's not true, just to hurt that person because they hurt your mother.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, well, I got an example, right? I mean, I'm a contrast the black parlor against the white parlor, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's a contrast. All right, so you see black golfers, all right? I'm not going to mention Tiger Woods because that's a given. His father, without his father, he would never play golf, okay? So, of course, he would credit his father. But I'll just take anybody, and they get up there, they win the tournament, and they get up, I want to thank my father. Without my father, I wouldn't be in this position. But come to find out, his father was an instructor at a golf course, or his father owned a golf course. So he had access. So he's with his dad all the time. Of course, and compare that to the groundskeeper, who's probably black. They had to, you know, cut the grass and everything.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if you look at it from that point of view or that perspective, then, you know, of course. All right, all right. I can see, if you look at the white father versus, but also you look at the discrimination that black men have to go through to be better, especially at higher levels where they can take care of their families.
Right.
Yeah. Right? They have to eat, you know, SHIT, you know, just to make sure that they got the income coming in.
Right.
All right. And they got to work the long hours, it's 70 to 80 hours a week, or they got to work 2-3 jobs.
To make it happen.
Yeah. And right. Yeah. And to make sure that the lights are on, that you right. got food in the fridge.
Right,
that you got
exactly.
meat.
Roof over your head.
Mm-hmm. We can't go.
Stress.
Right. Wow. And all of that. And yes. we can't go to the football game, to football mm-hmm. practice or soccer mm-hmm. practice or this and that because
you can't make
working.
It. Yeah, but somebody's mm-hmm. making it happen for you. They got to pay that football fee. You know, somebody's paying it.
Yeah, it's transparent. Yeah. I call it the transparent right. or the ghost behind right. the machine. You can use that term.
Right.
Yeah. Who's the Donna ghost just, behind the machine?
Yeah, exactly. Diva with Depression just made a comment. In sports, agents mm-hmm. target single parent households. So that's why we hear it from them.
Yeah, they do. I saw it when I was teaching how the recruiters would come and talk to the students and
right.
sort of say, I'll be like your father. I could be like your father. I will give you whatever you need if you come play for my team. And a lot of, you know, if you see the movie, if you've seen the movie Blindsided, you know, where the guy's father, he was a football star at school.
Right.
He was taken in by a family because he was living in an urban setting.
Right.
And he was living in poverty, and a white coach's family took him in. But
right.
unfortunately, you know, we never really got the whole gist of what happened to his father. He just, it was almost like he didn't have a family. And we know he had a family.
Right. They
know
just
what
fed
happened.
You what they wanted you
and,
to know. Yeah.
Right. And when you see the movie, you don't know that he had a family that wanted to take care of him and wanted to take him in. But the coach was so popular and kept saying, oh, he could make a lot of money. He's going to he's going to be able to do this for you with the money. And so he got the credit. But there were men in his family that were willing to take care of him. It just was not reported on in the movie or on TV.
Of course, that's Hollywood's version.
And we see it over and over. We see it with the, you know, the white women who have been adopting children from Africa or children from impoverished nations, and even children here because they feel they have no family. But because they have the means and the opportunity, they're able to get the children that would otherwise be taken care of by the family.
Right.
And no one ever tries to figure out what happened with the story. You know, what happened with the father. Of course, we have movies like Losing Isaiah with Halle Berry.
Exactly.
With the little boy who, you know, the mother is a crack addict.
Right.
And she cleans herself up.
Right.
But we never saw the father. They made her out to be some kind of whore.
Right. Right.
You know, so that's where the bad credit comes from, because we have movies like this that never show.
Right. That's how
even in the regular
we
movies.
Are. Yeah.
Right. Even the stuff that we see in our movies on TV, we never see the black man's family. If you look at, I watch a little too much TV, but if you look at Station 19, these, you know, gorgeous African-American men that are on there, you don't know anything about their family. You know, maybe that he was married and he got a divorce, but you don't see the interaction of the
family. But even if you do see it on TV, they cut it, you know, they'll cut it. They don't like seeing, I mean, the best show that depicted us was
Queen
Cosby.
Sugar.
The Cosby Show. Queen Sugar.
Right.
The Cosby
Queen
Show.
Queen Sugar today. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And to date, right. Queen Sugar.
Yeah.
You know, the Cosby Show. The Wayans Brothers.
Yeah.
The
father was in
the picture.
Yeah.
You know, anything that's positive for us, they cut it. You know, they don't want us to see that we can do better. This is us.
Yeah.
Yes, Donna. Yep. This is us.
Yeah, well, I mean, same thing can apply to black superheroes. We only had one. Black Panther. I don't know any other ones. Even on television, I mean, how many black leads, male leads, do you have?
Right, until that movie. I mean, they were showing the black Superman and stuff like that, you know, on the DC comic thing.
On the comics,
It did not blow up until Black Panther came out.
Yes, that's right.
It didn't blow up until then. Nobody knew, you know, they had small parts, you know, Don Cheadle's character in the DC comic, I forget because I don't really know all of the characters.
Oh, yeah. Been
and
a long time.
There's another actor. And the last one that they had where they had all the Avengers and everybody in the movie, you know, they show, you know, all of the black superheroes in there.
Right.
But it did not blow up, like I said, until the Black Panther.
Right.
We had nothing in our household growing up. You know, they do now. This generation has it, but we didn't have that back in the 60s, 70s. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't have, our superhero was our father.
Right. That's right. Or our uncle.
Or our uncles. You know, the men in our lives.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Right? Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
But
it was Chadwick Boseman for Black Panther.
Exactly. You know? Right.
Yeah. Chadwick Boseman. We had our uncles. We had actually even on the street, you had people looking, if you lived in a certain neighborhood where there was a lot of criminal activity, you had the criminals looking out for
the drug dealer.
Sure,
the drug dealer was a hero.
I don't want you to do this. You're not going to do this now. You're going to go to school. You're going to make sure you go to school.
Right. You
and
had
I don't
those.
Want to see you messing around with that boy. You know, they were they became the parents if the parents had to work. Or you weren't available. They were there. They made sure that
and
you were
some
able
was a
to
negative.
Function.
Yeah, some were a negative image of
yes,
them.
Yes, that's
say, oh,
right.
Well,
that's right. Well, I'm not
going to
sugarcoat it. That's right.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Well, I can. That makes me remember the blaxploitation films. You know, like what is it? Superfly.
Right.
Remember those films? Oh,
the
y'all guys probably don't.
Mac Foxy Brown.
Sheba
Baby.
Baby.
What's his name that just died?
Oh.
Mario Peebles.
Yeah, Mario
Peebles.
Melvin Sweetback. Sweetback.
Sweetback.
Yeah.
Badass.
Yeah, Sweetback.
That's what we had, but that's all Hollywood allowed us to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that was exploiting.
And Claudine.
I mean, that was
black exploitation. Claudine.
She had all these kids,
single
and the
mother,
only man that they could find that could help her was a guy who collected garbage.
Right, and then they didn't even. Yeah, she was when the white lady came into the house. Where did you get this iron from?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Then she started pulling out all of the things that this. Yes, he bought this for me. Yes. Well, I need to document that. Why?
Yeah,
why is it your business?
Sick. Right.
They didn't want a man to come in to help.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was a big issue because that really, you know, made the African-American family suffer because even if he wanted to be there, he couldn't. He couldn't be there because of the things that the government was able to force the wife to do in order to get aid.
Right.
And it's still like that today. You can't, you have to not have a certain portion of things, you know, in order to get, you have to show that you have practically nothing.
Nothing.
In order to get anything.
And then they're giving you nothing on top of it.
Yes. It's like a constant
circle.
They just
keep you poor. Yeah. They just keep
you down.
Right.
And it keeps, it keeps repeating. And that's why I bet the best thing for, I think, young Black boys, young African American boys is education.
Right.
And if the schools are not doing it and the public schools are not doing it, the parents have to do it. And if the parents can't do it, they have to find someone in the community who can. And there are lots of different programs now that can encourage and uplift African-American boys so that they don't think that, you know, being educated is only a white thing.
Right.
You know.
That's right. That's right. And I don't like when they say, oh, we didn't know. We didn't know that was going on. There's so many ways to find out what's going on.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You have to be involved. There were parents who could barely read and write who were involved.
Exactly. If you're on Instagram all day and Facebook and TikTok and Twitter, you can look up, you know, you can even call 311 and they'll tell you all everything that's going on in your community.
Yeah, so, and I could count the number of parents who would come to school to see what was going on with their child on Parent Teachers Night. It got to a point where they were working two or three jobs. It's sort of like a systemic, institutionalized racism, where you're damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Right.
You know. So you know, I would ask the child, "Well, is your mother going to come tonight?" "No, miss, she got to work."
your
father
that's right.
"No, he's got to work." You know. So
I work too, but when I had to go to parents' teachers' night, I made sure I didn't have to work late that night to make
that
sure
night.
I get to my child's. You know.
Yeah,
because in my eyes, in school, you know, they favor the children that they see the parents. You know, they'll look out for that child in that classroom
because they know they're going to see you.
They're going to see you.
That's right.
That's it. You know, you're going to see you.
It's true, though. Yeah. But still, like, you don't want your child to be ignored because their parents didn't care.
Yeah, and that, unfortunately, is what happens. Because if I know a parent is going to be on me about what homework did you give, why did my child get a B instead of an A, I'm going to work harder to make sure that parent is satisfied.
That's right.
It hurts the other children who may not have that same kind of support, you know. So, but there, it is systemic and it's institutionalized, and this trickles down into the family, into the way boys think of family as opposed to girls think of family, and they need the role models, you know, for African American fatherhood. African American fatherhood is there, and they don't realize that they have role models because they're looking at the celebrity side or the sports side without looking at the accountant or the guy who is a postal worker or the guy who works as a handyman. They don't look at that and see that as someone who's a role model. It has to be deeper.
We just have to make sure.
Well, they do. I think, Judy, they do realize it at a later age.
Right, at the later
when they're raising their kids, and then they look back and say, "Oh man, my dad did this, my dad did that." Now
that's right.
You know, they don't see it, you know, until it's late. You know, the father passed on; they didn't give them the props. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, they're bombarded with so much entertainment. The entertainment industry is everywhere. It's on their phone. It's on the TV.
I mean, they can spend so much time doing that. Why can't they spend time, you know, trying to advance themselves and make themselves better?
Well, that was one of the reasons that for the absence of a father is that when they do go to college, they go to these for-profit colleges. Mm-hmm. So going to a for-profit, you know what happens. They take the student loans.
Right.
All right. And then when they get out of college, they get all this debt.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right.
So how they gonna pay your student loans and you got all these debts, $100,000, and then be able to take care of family?
Right.
That's true.
So you straddle with that.
Yeah, that's a struggle.
It's a struggle everywhere you look.
Yeah, it's true. Donna made a comment in the chat room. There's an agenda to erase Black men.
Yes. Yeah. And I agree with that.
What was that? Could you repeat that, please?
Donna, Diva with Depression, Donna stated in the chat room, there is an agenda to erase Black men.
What do you think?
I agree with that. That's been an agenda for years, ever since slavery was over.
Yes.
I've been leaning towards this, and I'm seeing signs.
Mm-hmm. And there's a fear.
But then again, you know, the Black woman has been treated bad. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I do notice a trend on TV, and I think I mentioned it to you guys a few shows ago, that the only people I'm seeing now are Black women. They're getting all these roles, not Black men.
Yeah.
Well, it's our time.
All right. See, I knew you were going to say that. Win-win, but, you know,
but it's a win-win, though. It's a win-win for all of us. You know, whether or not
why can't we have both?
Black man.
Well, we can have both.
Yeah.
Well, at one time we didn't even have.
Well, there's still a great fear among Black men. There's still this fear that if you look a certain way as an African American man, you are going to be criminalized or weaponized.
You're a threat. You're perceived as a threat.
So if you notice in many of the films, the darker skinned African American man is always the bad guy. And the lighter skinned guy is the smooth guy. We have certain types. You know, there's the buck who's, you know, just goes from one woman to the next woman. Then there's the businessman that plays mind games on you. And then there's the guy that's the all around, you know, happy guy, no problems in the world. And then there's the guy that's ruthless, you know. So these are the stereotypes that we see, and we never see a balance in between.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, then you got a light skinned captain. Of the police. Yeah. The captain is light-skinned, usually light-skinned black. Yeah, non-threatening.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's why they took off.
That's why they took off Luke. Be doing something good with that, where the captain is a darker-skinned man, but they're giving him hell as, you know, the department is giving
But that's always been the case. Yeah. Like at Starsky and Hutch. If you remember Starsky and Hutch, they had a black captain. And they didn't even listen to him.
Huggy Bears.
He was a clown.
They didn't even listen to him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And and you know, today I still hear, even in my building, the workmen, some of the workmen, maybe from the Caribbean or different parts of the world, will still say, "Yes, a boss." Yeah, boss.
You're kidding.
They're still saying that. And
I'm guilty.
When I see it, I'm like, I can't believe they are still saying, "Yes, a boss."
To white men
that they're working for.
I did not say yes, sir. I did not.
New Orleans is still in that. They're still in a time warp.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, but can I say something? Mm-hmm. Okay. I have said, yes, boss. Okay, boss. All right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Man paying me, you know, six figures. And he said something to me like, okay, well, I want you to do this. Yes, yes, boss. You got it, boss. Mm. Because I'm getting paid.
Okay, yeah.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
I don't know.
I'm happy. I'm happy because I'm getting a bonus. I'm getting my money. But I just say yes, boss, not in a demeaning way or you know, being submissive.
Mm-hmm. No.
But I'm just saying, yeah, okay, boss. Whatever you say. Yeah, you got it.
I just think that has to stop. Because if you want respect.
I've never done that. Yes.
If you want respect,
yes,
you have to not do that. And it might cost you something and you might give up and you might sacrifice something. But yes, you need to have your money. But there is a tactful way.
You don't have to demean yourself. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Your way is not demeaning. Your example.
No, not at all.
I know I've witnessed it when I went to New Orleans and I'm looking and I'm like, do these black people know slavery has been over? Like, the mentality down there is just incredibly ignorant. Like,
mm-hmm.
I could not believe the way they would speak or keep their heads bowed down.
Mm-hmm.
They need
not
to
make eye contact.
Very polite, you know, that southern politeness, but still afraid to speak. Like, you know, if you spoke up or you said anything, a white man was going to rat you out. That's the feeling I got down there.
Yeah, and I still see that here. I still see it in certain jobs.
Well, we have it with the Karens.
It's just a shame. Yeah, that's right.
It is. I mean, everybody has to know their point. I think also with jobs, especially corporate America, it could be any job, though. They know, like, if they know your personal business, you have two children at home, you know, you need this job, you need the benefits, you need this, you have a mortgage. Your kids are still in school, et cetera, et cetera. They use your personal life against you.
Yeah.
And they treat you like dirt, you know?
Yeah.
They treat you like dirt. So that's, you can't help it. Human resources know you have to have coverage for your kids, but you can't allow them to treat you like this. I don't need this damn job. Yeah. There's plenty of jobs out there for me. But some people, like, they're afraid. Like, I can't leave. Yeah. I can't, you know, they have that mentality. Like, if I leave, what am I going to do? Like, I need this check. Yeah, you need the check, but you also need your pride and your dignity. Like,
yes.
Well, that's the thing.
It's still Paul Lawrence. It's difficult. Poem, we wear the mask and we wear the mask. We are still wearing the mask.
Right.
It has not gone away. And it's going to be years, maybe centuries, where that mask is still going to be there for protection. Yeah. It is a mask of protection.
I guess that's why, Walter, I guess that's why, in my 18 years of banking, I bounced around because I couldn't deal with that shit.
Yeah, well, I bounced around too.
You're not going to talk to me. Right, that's what I would do. Every 5 years.
Yeah, I didn't last long in it either.
Listen, you're not going to talk to me any kind of way. I mean, I just was telling somebody the other day, I'm working in a brokerage, and it was a German bank, right? And their hours were from 8 to 5. So, you know, my son was young. You know, he was like just starting pre-K and stuff like that. So I knew I had to get home at a certain time to pick him up. I couldn't get him to school. Someone would take him to school. I'd pick him up, right? So I would come in at 7:30 to give that extra half an hour. And then we only had a half an hour lunch, which I barely took. I ate at my desk. 5 o'clock came. Your girl was running to the door. Everybody's looking at me like, oh, where you going? Home. My work is done. Oh, well, you can't leave until that person's finished. That person don't have nothing to do with my work.
So
I started getting these looks and these comments. And I said, let me tell you something. Slavery days are over. I done gave you 9 hours. Okay. I don't get paid for overtime.
Mm-hmm.
I'm leaving. You don't like it? Fire me. And they couldn't because I was right.
Because you were good at what you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was good at what I was doing. I'm like, you know, it was a male, you know, Walter, that's a male-dominated industry.
Oh, no doubt.
Most of the men in there, their wives stayed at home. I said, well, I'm not that fortunate, and it's none of your damn business while I'm working.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here to do a job. I'm not here to make friends.
Yeah.
So you can imagine, Michelle, if you compare that to the black man, let's say myself, that had to deal with that, but was not in a position to say, you know, F off. You know what I mean? I couldn't say that because I had family. Wow. Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know, Lyle was like, exactly. Now, right. Now he's at, like, F you guys. They're having fits now. Yeah. He's leaving. You got to know your worth, you know?
Yeah.
They don't value you. You got to value yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you have enough, it might take you 5 years, it might take you 10 years, but eventually you're going to figure it out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Leaving
the dark. Like
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you leave in the dark and you come home in the dark. That was my life.
Right.
That's right.
All right.
I didn't get paid whole time. Yes. I mean, but, you know, I got paid. But they expected me, you know, the big boss gets in there, you know, 7 in the morning, you know what I mean? And he leaves at 7, 8 at night. Yeah, if you leave early or you're not there when he comes in, hey, a little mark went in, a mental note was made right there. Were you with us or against us? Are you going to help us or not? If you didn't put in your 12, and I at one time I was doing that, then I said to myself, I know, I think a teacher, an instructor in college was telling me that when your boss sees you, they see an expense. They don't see you. You're just a number. You're just a cost.
That's right.
And you could be replaced.
You're a cost.
You can easily be replaced.
Mm-hmm. And that's it.
If you're an asset, you know,
it depends on whether they allow that. And, you know, that's one of the things how I manage. You know, I try not to have people with halos.
And the
politics. Yeah, you know, the halo effect is, you know what the halo effect is. All right. You know, this guy walks on water or this girl walks on water. They can do, we need help. I always worked on having more than one.
Right.
All right. If this one drops, go somewhere else, fine. The machine keeps moving. That's the way I am.
There you go. I think my mentality and Lyle's mentality being in corporate America, we always became assets. We didn't just learn our job. We learned everybody's job.
That's right.
Okay.
It was almost like you were forced to.
Exactly. Yeah. You had no choice. Yep. But you became an asset because they're like, damn, if I lose this guy, he knows everything. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that to me, that's a mistake of management. Because one thing I learned when I was at Deutsche Bank, when I first came in, there were what we call subject matter experts, and they knew everything I would say about trust or foreign exchange or whatever, or equities, you know, whatever. And these two guys came from Morgan Stanley, and they took over the department. It was development technology. Mm-hmm. Next thing I know, people that I thought knew everything on the business side that, you know, that we needed their knowledge for, they were being fired. Mm-hmm. So basically, what the upper manager was saying, sink or swim.
Right.
There will be no stars other than us.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because they're out there. If we need, we'll hire them.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's hard management. To me, that's where I learned. You know, that's how I got as good as I did. I don't want to brag, but I was very good at what I did.
Right.
Okay? And I took that same tact. All right?
Yeah.
And I was like shocked, man. They fired one guy, and this guy had been there like 20 years or whatever, built the system, and they just boom.
Right.
Right. That's right.
You're out of here, buddy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, hey.
You're replaceable. Everybody, you know, they'll roll your ass out and place somebody right behind you, you know?
It's not
you don't own that company, you know?
Yeah.
You don't own that company.
No,
you know, until you get into a position where you know they need you, their back is against the wall, that they can't lose you, they can't afford to lose you, that's when you know you got them by the nuts.
That's right. You got them, but don't tell them.
And then even then,
they will find a replacement.
And even then, when they try to, like, begging you to stay, you're like, no, because you're going to treat me worse even if I do get more money.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you're going to make me earn this money 3 times harder than what I was doing already.
Right.
So it's not even worth it.
Well, just to pivot back to what our topic is for today, is, you know, what can we do about, you know, changing the narrative? No more than speaking about it on podcasts like this, or getting the information out that, right, you know, what they're talking about is not really the reality on the ground.
If you look deep enough. Right, and teaching students, you know, in school and teaching students in general, you know, that this is just because you see that on TV doesn't mean that African-American men are not striving and not successful and not taking care of their family. They are doing a lot for the community as well as for the family. And they're hardworking. Right. They're working hard and they're doing the right thing. And it's only when we see them in the media that we have this idea that there's a stereotype that they're either in prison or not doing the things that they should be doing.
Right, right, exactly.
And we have to show, you know, they are scientists. It's not just, you know, sports stars and celebrities and actors.
Right.
We have scientists. We have doctors and lawyers. Look at the two African-American doctors that come on to tell us about COVID.
Right.
You know, the director of human services for hospital, health and hospitals.
Yes.
You know, we have entrepreneurs, scientists, the science, well, this is an African-American woman, but we have scientists in the field. We have all kinds of people who are educated and striving and working for the betterment of the community, who are not criminals, who are not walking around trying to hurt people or sell drugs. We have to get rid of that stereotype because that's what our kids think they see. Yes, there is gang violence. There's a lot of that. That is being overshadowed by the skills and the skill sets that many African American have that are contributing to the community. And we don't see any of that. We have a mayor. We believe he will be mayor, Eric Adams, regardless of what you might think of him. But he might be the next mayor of New York. You could call him a role model, and people may disagree or not agree with him, but there's somebody that you can say, oh, that's a role model. You know, he was the captain of the police. Well, you know, he had some qualities that made contributions to the city.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Amen. All right. Amen. All right. So anyway, I don't want to belabor the point, but I do want people to realize why we had this show. Because, you know, here at the Walt Weekly, we want to shed light on a lot of topics that are not being discussed in media. So, you know, I think that's our value add, right? So with that said, I want to turn it over to Michelle. We want to close out the show. But I do want to say that on Sunday, we push this out. We do a rebroadcast, audio platforms, podcast platforms, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. All right, we push this out on Sundays after 3 p.m. So if y'all guys know someone that didn't get a chance to listen to this, or you want to hear it again, or you missed certain parts of it, you can access it on Sunday via those podcast platforms. CastBox is another one. All right? So we'll do a rebroadcast on Sunday. All right? With that said, I'm going to turn it over to Michelle.
Awesome. Thank you, Walter. Our host, Walter Latham Sr. Thank you. And thank you to our weekly panel member, Judy Andrews, and our audience for joining us on our live broadcast out of New York City. We hope you all will join us next Friday for our next show, and we look forward to hearing from everyone. Please follow, like, and share us on all streaming platforms, and you can follow us at www.thewaltweekly.com, IG and Facebook, The Walt Weekly, Twitter, Walt Weekly, Podbean, The Walt Weekly, and you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and other streaming platforms. Have an awesome and safe weekend, everyone. Stay blessed.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one.